There is a crisis in this nation. And it's not one that we hear about on the news. It's not a political crisis. And it's certainly not one of economics. And it is a crisis of epic proportion. And it grows daily. The crisis is not one of terrorism or of national security. It's not a border crisis that we have followed for a number of years now. And it's not one that can be easily detected. But it grows, and it grows like cancer. And it's been doing so for the last 40 or 50 years, and it's quickly destroying the fabric of not only this nation, but for all nations around the world. The long-term effects, it will destroy any nation, any business, and even organizations. And we look to elected officials to provide leadership for this country. But what we see is a division between two parties that bicker all the time, and they never seem to come to any answers to the solutions to the problems that we have. How many of the leaders of this country and other nations have fallen because of scandals? I've listed some names here, but I'm not going to mention them. Because once you start mentioning names, it brings back memories. We know these people. But they have this problem that's involved with this crisis. Because character is in crisis. We see the erosion of morals and ethics in our Congress. That's obvious. In Hollywood, the place that has such an influence around the whole world. And everywhere else around us, we see these erosions taking place. Today, I want to look at six qualities of character. The title of my sermon today is Seeking the Character of God. Becoming kings and priests is what this life is about. But in order to fulfill those roles, we need to build the character of kings and priests. Turn to Revelation 5, where we will start today. Revelation 5 and verse 10, we're very familiar with this. We've heard this scripture read for so many years. Here John says in Revelation 5 and verse 10, it says, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." This is what we are destined to do, brethren. We are destined to become rulers, kings, teachers, priests. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We'll go back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, you notice it says you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We're learning. We are in the process of learning to develop the mind and the character of God. And it's going to have us dealing with all of these situations that come up in life. You recall Moses, when he came out of Egypt, he brought all the children of Israel out. And his father-in-law had to tell him, you know, you can't take on all of these people's problems. You need help. But in the kingdom of God, we will be gods. And we will be judging all of these matters. We might ask ourselves, what is character? You know, the dictionary will give us a definition of character. But it all comes down to what is right inside of us. What is in our hearts? I read a definition that someone gave of character. It says, it's knowing what is right and doing it. Here's a stop sign. No, it's not a stop sign. It's a turn here on one of our streets right down here. And if you're coming from the south, coming north, you come up to a stop sign. But if you're going from the north to the south, you have to go and turn, or you can cut across behind the stop sign and you don't have to worry about anybody. And there have been times when it'd be late in the evening or early in the morning, no one around. And I was always tempted to go behind that stop sign. But I had to remind myself, no, that's not right. We have to have the character to do what is right. It's who we are inside that determines our actions and our conduct. And one of the sad things that we see around us today are the judges that sit in these positions of power that misuse that position. And then there's this effect that it has on the lives of people. Many of them are lacking in the character to judge properly. With the power that they hold over others, there are many temptations that get out of control in their lives. Turn to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew chapter 20, and we will read verse 25. Matthew 20 and verse 25, it says, but Jesus called them, the disciples, to him and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. So we find here, it's in the nature of people. It's in their nature, their character, to lord it over others. Where do we find the most cruel dictators in the world today? We find them in the poor Gentile countries. You know, just think of what Saddam Hussein did to his people. If we only knew. A very, very cruel individual. And they're very cruel and they crave the power and domination. In this society in which we live, character is rarely considered in our leaders. We're going to face another presidential election in about a year, and oh, I hate to see it coming. Because already the works are in place to destroy the character, if they have character, of the opponents. That's just the way of life that life has become in this country today. If you don't like someone, destroy them by destroying their character. You know, people don't like to talk about what's going on in those areas. Today, people, the character just doesn't matter anymore. It's money, it's power, it's fame that matters. Today we have a moral anchor. We do not have a moral anchor anymore in this country. Whatever you want to do, do it. Our entertainers, Hollywood, sports, all of that. It doesn't matter what their character is. Just go anywhere that magazines are sold. If you're an adult, do it. Don't let the kids do it. But just walk by the magazines and see what's on the covers of these magazines. The women are almost nude and the men are no better. You know, what you have to ask yourself, what is their character like? And these are the very people that our young people want to emulate. Sad. You know, a parent would have to be totally, totally insane to want their child to be like those people that we see on those magazines. You know, there was a time when this nation had character. There was a time that our leaders were men of character. They were not perfect, but they were people that stood for what was right. and what was good. They didn't have to stand for what the political party wanted. They stood for what was right. And we are in decline, and therefore character is in decline. When a nation or a people have character, there is stability and there's security in that nation. There was a time when character flaws in people were hidden and kept private, but that's not the way it is today. No way. Of all that we possess, character is one of the most important things that we can have. It's what makes people trust and believe in you. You can trust someone if they have character. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And we will read verse 24. Start with 24. We'll read through verse 32. Romans 1 and verse 24. It says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Does that sound familiar today? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creatures rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And it goes on and on and on. That is the description that is in the Bible about what we are today in this nation and other nations around this world. This is the scene that's playing out right before us in front of our eyes. What an impact these people are having on society. Sin of all kind. That's what we're entertained with. And we as a society, we keep paying to see these things. But God's people are to live lives of character. Turn to Psalms chapter 4, or Psalms, not chapters, they're Psalms. So Psalms 4. In Psalms 4, beginning in verse 3, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." No, I'm in the wrong. I said, no, 4, okay, I'm right. "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. God requires his people to have character, to develop it in their lives. Jesus Christ, his life reflected the character of God. His Father, and he reflected it in his own life. And we're to let Christ live in us, and therefore our lives should reflect the character of God. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says here, Paul does, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ." We should be seeking to have his mind in us. What he thinks, how he thought, what he did, that's what we should be thinking about and trying to develop in our lives. When we look at the men and the women of the Bible that lived righteous lives, it's easy to see how they were people of character. Character is not something we just wake up with. It takes time. It takes a long period of time. It takes experience. It takes training to develop. Well, what are some of the godly qualities of character that we should build into our lives? I won't tell you how many characters I've gotten down, because if I run out of time, I can quit. If I say I've got 10, I have to go to 10. The first one, trust. Trust is essential to any relationship. And without it, life becomes miserable. There's always this paranoia if we don't have trust in the people that we are with, our mates. We have to have trust in our mates, in our Christian lives. Trust is, I know we've all dropped a glass at some time, but just think of yourself holding this beautiful crystal glass and you drop it and it shatters. All of the glue in the world will never put that glass back together like it was. Once trust is broken, it is never really mended back to the way it originally was. No matter how careful you are in trying to glue it back, it's never the same. Our greatest trust is in the one we have in God. But turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Somewhere in my book, I've got a chapter 18. Here it is. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. Solomon tells us a brother that is offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. Yes, once we have broken that trust with a brother, we've offended him. It's hard to repair the damage that's done. Many people have a hard time trusting others because of abuse or because they have been taken advantage of. Now, we can't go through life. Some point in time, somebody's going to abuse you in some form. They will take advantage of you. All of us have been beaten up, so to speak, in life. But you know, this should never, never keep us from trusting God. Trust takes time to build, and it's so easily broken. It can be built by being truthful and loyal with the way we deal with each other. Having a strong bond of trust. If we have that bond of trust in our brother, it's easy to forgive him. But it's when that bond of trust is broken. Question, does God trust you? You ever think about that? What kind of trust does God put in us? Turn to John 15. In John chapter 15. We will start with verse 13. You know, everybody has their own favorite scripture. This is mine. Greater love has no man, no one, than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In verse 15 it says, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Christ trusts you enough that he would give you something that very, very, very few people have. He tells you what his Father is doing and what to expect. Christ calls us friends. And friendship doesn't develop in just meeting a person for the first time. We have to know that person. We get to know them. We get to understand them. We form this bond between each other to the point where you are willing to die for that person. I'll say this, I don't want to talk too much about it, but when I was in the military, we flew. We had 13 people on this plane. And we would go out and we would do whatever we were told to do. But those 13 people came from all different parts of the country. And you form a bond with them. And there was one man that I formed a bond with. We bonded with each other. I mean, we were willing to do anything for each other. But you know, that doesn't happen all that often in life where you form such a bond with someone that you're willing to die for him. And that's what Christ says here. Greater love has no man than to lay down one's life for his friends. So we build that trust in each other here in this room, in the church. Turn to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. Here is the account of Abraham. And he's taken his son Isaac. God has told him, you're going to take him and you're going to sacrifice him. And so Abraham takes his son and he travels to this place where God has told him to go. And everything is ready. The sacrifice is laying on the pile of wood. And Abraham is willing to take the life of his only son, Isaac. And here in verse 12, and he, God, Christ, said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. He had that much trust in God that he was willing to do what God told him to do. And God says, now I know. Now I understand you, Abraham. I know what you're going to do. The second part in this building of character is to have respect. Respect is something that is missing from our society today. Oh, it's so lacking today. People don't respect the elderly. They don't respect the law of the land. You just name it. We have lost respect in this new generation. And it's only going to get worse with the next generation. Respect is not being taught in the homes, and it's certainly not being taught in the schools. Respect for all of the law and order in this country is at an all-time low. But you know, that's what people want to be respected. It's something like trust that has to be earned. You know, there are some people I have a little bit of problem respecting. I'll be honest with you. For someone to abuse a little child, I find it very hard to show that, have any respect for that individual. For someone to abuse elderly people, to con them out of their life, you might say their savings that they have. I recently saw, it was on a news program where this lady had been conned out of everything. Every bit of her savings for life, and she was crying because she says, I have nothing and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just glad I wasn't the policeman that arrested. I'd have slapped him upside the head and made him pay her back. People want to be respected. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we will read verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, it says, if then, being evil, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets, what we call the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. Respect others, because that's what you want from them. For marriages to succeed, there has to be love, there has to be honor, and there has to be respect for the mate. Because without these things, without that, we're standing on some very, very dangerous ground. And the chances of survival are almost nil. For one mate to not honor and respect the other mate, it sets marriage up for failure. Before any relationship can be successful, we must show God proper respect to Him. Because if we would respect, you know, there in Matthew you recall where it says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it to me. If we're disrespectful to our mates, we're disrespectful to God. Psalms 89.
Okay.
Yeah, I better hurry. Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Yeah, here we are. Verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all of those who are around him. We respect God. We are in the presence of God at all times, not just on the Sabbath. Let's go on now to another responsibility. Responsibility is a part of building character. You know, driving a car is a huge responsibility. But you know, being in control of our lives is also even a greater responsibility. We should conduct our lives in a way that reflects back to God our appreciation for what He's given to us. We take responsibility for our lives. Man is going to be held responsible for what he does with it. In the end, all of us are going to be held responsible with what we do with our lives. Romans 14. Romans 14. And verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12, Paul tells us here, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Yes, we are called to become kings and priests in the kingdom. And we're going to assume the roles of leadership and character, because they go hand in hand with each other. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 21. Here was a question about taxes. Don't we love them? Here in verse 21, they said to him, Caesar's. Let's drop down another line. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. We belong to God. And we have a responsibility to Him. From the very beginning of the Bible all the way through it, you see that everyone has this responsibility to God. And what about our neighbor? You know, people that we know. We have a responsibility to the widows in the church. You know, that's something we certainly don't want to overlook. Yes, we have huge responsibilities. And if we fail in them, we have a flaw in our character and we need to do something about that. Yes, sir. The next one is fairness. Do we play by the rules? Playing by the rules is lacking in the character of people today. Cheating is unchecked in the schools. And young people, when they do that, they develop a flaw in their character that's going to follow them through life. Oh, how we cheat in life. How man likes to cheat. Turn to John 10. John chapter 10. Because here we see Christ addressing this. He says in verse 1, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Here is someone that is trying to cheat God. He's not going to come through the door like he should. But they finagle and they wiggle themselves through the system. Oh man. This is so much like today. So much. God expects us to be fair in our dealings with others. If you go back to the statutes and the judgments, he talks about having a balance, a scale that is true. You don't try to unbalance the scale. Whatever goes on, it goes on it. We read about this in Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 38. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Yes, we want to be fair in every bit of our dealings with one another. But this is not what we find today. You know, you go into the supermarket. I can remember when you'd get a pound can of coffee. Many of you remember that. They'd come in 1 pound cans and it would have a price on it. Well, over the years, the price stayed stable, pretty much the same. But what you notice is that pound now is 14 ounces. It's 12 ounces. It's just a way that people try to play games, and they're dishonest with others. All of this is a way of giving less for what you pay as a dollar. And it all has to do with deception. Modesty is the next one. Modesty is certainly a measure of the character of a person. In the business world, there's dress codes that companies used to adhere to. But we're seeing that. We've seen it change. And it's going to get worse in the days to come. You know, they're constantly showing these award programs on TV. I don't like them. I try to find something else. Because it seems like what I've seen is the women want to show everything and they don't cover up much. Can't believe it. Don't go looking at it. But Jeremiah tells us about this in Jeremiah chapter 6. He tells us about this that is around us today. Oh, here it is, 15. I see my mark here where I made it a 15. Jeremiah 6, verse 15. He asked the question, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. You know, there was a time when I was a kid, you could blush. I mean, somebody'd say something to you, and you know, your cheeks would turn red, and you'd get this warm feeling on you. That's gone. That is gone. Look at what they're teaching our children in schools about sex education. When they literally show porn movies to these kids. No one knows how to blush anymore. What is it that can make people blush? What is it? No, we're sliding lower and lower and lower into the cesspools. First Timothy 2. First Timothy 2. First Timothy 2. Verses 8 through 10. Therefore I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, pearl, and costly things, but which is proper for women professing a godliness with good works. But it's not women only. It's men. They need to be aware of what they wear or don't wear. Time's running out. I'm about to get the neck. But caring for others, let's look at that. Do we care for each other? Caring for each other. That is something else that is disappearing today from this society that we live in. Genesis chapter 4. You know what I'm going to read, but we'll read anyway. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? He got a little smart mouthed. This is a question that we should have settled long ago in our minds about how we think of our brother. That we should be careful and concerned and helping with him, not being like Cain here. We read John 13:15, by this shall all men know. No, we didn't. But it does say, by this shall all men know that you are my, disciples if you love one another. If you care for one another. Let's go to Ezekiel and we'll wrap this up. Yep. In Ezekiel, chapter 9. In Ezekiel, chapter 9. We'll start in verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh and cry over all of the abominations that are done within. To the others, he said in his hearing, go after them through the city and kill, and do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young, men, maiden, and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Begin in his church. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out, and they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out and said, oh, God, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on them? Ezekiel cared for what was going on for those people. He cared for what was happening in their lives. So in closing, we live in a very chaotic world and time. And we don't have much longer to go in this life. We can look at the signs around us. And God has given us sufficient time to build the godly character that we need to be in order to be in His family. This is what God wants us to be working on in this time that we have remaining here on this earth. God trusts us, and He has a great deal of respect for each and every one of us, brethren. So let's be striving to live like He is in every day.